Today, Carrie's mom would be president of the school board. No, it's not a joke. It's just true, and I'm sad about it. Carrie was the number one movie in America. Jeez, Sean.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Coming in dark.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
It's just that I realized early on the idea of this woman being rejected by those around her.
Really? Like, now she would really be like the... Because I feel like everybody is so keyed up about not letting religion in our schools that...
No.
In the suburb, I mean, in the city, she would be shunned. But in the suburbs, she'd be...
Also, it depends on what city.
She'd be changing the curriculum and making sure there were no books. She'd be Moms for Liberty.
Yeah.
Yikes. I'm Sean Collier. And
Happy Tuesday.
And I'm here with two people who are in space because they're hot. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Pew, pew, pew.
And Camila Adams. Yeah, Moonraker was 34 and two-thirds. That is much lower than our last visit with Bond. Mr. Bond. GoldenEye was 57 and two-thirds. Even Camila liked GoldenEye more. He liked it 5 points more than Moonraker.
It was not that bad from what I remember.
I think it's good.
Who was it again? Who was the Bond?
Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, yeah.
And to embarrass myself, let's wrap up movies that one of us liked more. There's a few that are just outliers. Carnival of Souls, obviously, because that was my little treat. Did I ever get around to acknowledging that Mary Beth introduced me to Carnival of Souls and deserves all the credit?
I don't think so. Good job, Mary Beth.
For several episodes, she was like, have you acknowledged that I knew about Carnival of Souls first? Like, no,
I haven't. Give her flowers.
I oddly liked Solo way more than either of you.
Oh, God, really? I hated it.
I don't remember that. I gave it a 70. You both did 35. I don't remember that. The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, again, I was a boy at the exact right time.
Yeah.
Look Who's Talking. I don't remember liking Look Who's Talking. You were both in the 30s and I was in the 60s.
So that's a movie that I like, but I was in a cranky mood about it, I'm pretty sure, because of...
Kirstie Alley?
Yeah, and like the sitcom-y nonsense.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the other theme is movies that are in some way problematic, thus affecting me less than the rest
Mountain
of the room.
Mountain of Privilege. Right.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Blazing Saddles, WALL-E, Life of Brian, Apocalypto, even John Carpenter's Vampires, I was above water.
Wow. But,
so sorry.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's Mountain of Privilege.
I do love, just for those who can't see clearly, because this is audio, Sean is rocking out his Carrie t-shirt. Love it.
Thank you.
I just saw the Barbie one.
Also somewhat inspired, which we'll get to it.
It says H is for Hitchcock.
That's
because Brian De Palma...
obsessed with Hitchcock.
Okay, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing a movie I've loved forever. Mm. I think I said in the last episode, I've gone back to this again and again throughout my life and never once... been bored with it, disappointed with it. I'm always happy to revisit it. Camille, I think you said you were close. You've seen this a bunch.
I think I've only seen it in its entirety maybe twice.
Okay.
Without this viewing, and it had been a minute since I had seen it all the way through. You know, obviously, and you know, when you watch so many of those like shows that are like, oh, the number one, the 100 scary moments, you know, you see like it's clips all over it time and time again. So it's like, yeah, I feel like I've seen it a million and one times, but I don't remember when I first saw it.
Neither do I. I'm pretty sure it was like a sleepover situation.
I'm pretty sure I was sneaking and watching it while my mom was asleep, like when it was on like HBO or something.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not sure I've ever seen this unedited because I was rather shocked by the opening scene.
There's a version like with a lot more underwear.
Yes. Yeah. I assume that they just filmed it twice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that maybe that was part of it too. Like I'd probably seen it a lot like, oh, Carrie's on TNT. see. Like, yes. Let me watch right. this kind of right. thing. And yeah, so I was like, oh my God, so much Snatch.
That's the thing, though. It's like just the first scene, and then they calm down.
Right? Let's get this out of the way early.
But, you know, I enjoyed it. Like, this mm-hmm. this movie is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So, talking about being in a bad mood, we were supposed to record last week, and thank God we did it. Because I watched this a week ago, the night before we were going to record, and I was so grumpy about it.
Really?
Like, obviously, I still thought it was good.
Right.
But I just got so, like, salty about misaligned priorities in screen time. Like, there's way too much time spent on the bullies, which I'm guessing might, because also I've gone through a whole Carrie comparative studies in the subsequent week.
Oh,
so we will what have to get mean? Into that more.
Okay,
I watched as much Carrie content as possible.
Wow, I watched the remake right after
so
I watched
I.
it, and I started to watch the sequel, but I couldn't get past the credits. I was like, this
okay,
is bullshit.
I'm did not- I did not watch all of The Rage, Carrie 2, because I've seen it before. Mm. And about 20, 30 minutes in, I'm like, this movie is too bad to watch twice.
In this one life that we have,
yes.
there's not room for two viewings of The Rage, Carrie 2.
And I watched the 2002 TV movie version
oh.
of Carrie, written by Brian Fuller.
What?
Yep. Terrible.
Really?
I didn't know that was
I
one.
Kept almost, I didn't do any of the others. That I was closest because I was like, it's a Carrie I've never seen before. Patricia Clarkson's in it. I must watch this.
She's good.
Is she the mom?
Yes. And she understands the assignment, right? right?
Like Patricia Clarkson.
Exactly. She's good. The actor who plays Carrie is really unnerving, which is an approach to the character,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But not really compelling.
Okay.
It's way too long. It has 2000. It has an extensive CGI for a TV movie in 2002.
Really?
So yikes! There's meteors involved, or meteorites. Sorry.
Do they destroy that? The rocks were supposed to fall from the sky and destroy the house at the end of this movie, the original. They just didn't have the budget.
It happens in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Of the TV movie, it's like a flash. It's over the. Credit opening credits, and then it's a flashback to her youth.
All right, sure.
Which kind of breaks down the whole monarchy as activating superpowers metaphor.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I digress.
Where'd you find it?
We're gonna be here a while.
It's on Tubi.
Oh.
I was really annoyed with the movie, and I got really annoyed with Brian De Palma as a director.
Yeah.
Listen, he has made some really great movies. He has also made some absolute garbage, and it seems like he has no control over himself.
And like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes. And I find it just frankly embarrassing how much he wants to be Alfred Hitchcock. And like, I'm just kind of like, we see what you're doing, buddy. Like this.
Calm down.
Yes. Relax, Brian De Palma. Also, I remember about 20 minutes into the movie, I'm like, I bet he married Nancy Allen.
Did he?
Because he sure did.
Wow.
Because like, there's so
that's
many.
Chris, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so many shots of her like close up on her lips, and I'm just like, oh, he was into this person.
She was in some of the erotic thrillers that he did later on.
That
right?
sounds correct.
Yeah.
She's in RoboCop. To me, she will always be the nice lady in RoboCop.
I always think of her from this because I've seen her so many times. The facts he will be long and could be an hour long. There's so much to say. My favorite was the editor of the movie walked out of the premiere and his friends said, why wasn't your name in the opening credits? And he said it was, and then watched it back again. His name is next to Nancy Allen fully nude. So no one actually looked at it.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do?
Poor guy.
Yeah. No one knows. Who edited Carrie? No one has ever found out.
Nancy Allen's pussy.
Maybe you want to know what happened in Carrie. And with that extra week, I remembered to write it. I mean, I could have riffed it, but let me tell you in prepared fashion. Someone tell me when to go.
Go.
After being frustratingly bad at volleyball, sheltered teen Carrie White gets her first period in the locker room showers. Because her fundamentalist mother doesn't believe in science, she has no idea what's happening and thinks she's dying, which the mean girls find hilarious. Coach, not minding her business, decides to punish all the other girls, making head bitch in charge Chris stage a mutiny and swear revenge, while sympathetic but horribly misguided Sue makes arrangements for her boyfriend with the good hair to take Carrie to the prom. Meanwhile, Fundamentalist mother is beginning to get witchy vibes from Carrie, probably because Carrie openly admits she has psychic powers. On prom night, mom plots to kill her witch daughter while Chris and her boyfriend, TV's John Travolta, plot to cover Carrie in pig's blood through an elaborate prom queen vote-switching scheme. Carrie and the greatest American hero fall in love a little bit, but then the blood falls and we're off to the races. Carrie kills the fuck out of everybody, then goes home to acknowledge that mom was right, only for mom to literally stab her in the back. Carrie implodes the house, killing her and mom. Only Sue survives, but she's got trauma that will last all the way through the 90s sequel.
Yes. Correct.
One, I did not realize he was greater. He was the greatest American.
Oh, I will always recognize. I don't think I've ever seen a single episode of that show, but no. His hair is a monument.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I was like, how do I know this guy? Do I know this guy? But okay, that's it. And yes, this is like the all time biggest I told you so moment from a mom.
She sure did.
It's such a shame.
Do we think that the gym teacher actually laughed at her?
No.
Okay.
No, that's just Carrie.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I think that Norma was laughing and a few of the like bro-y side characters were laughing, and that was it.
I mean,
but
if
that
you
was
think
enough
about
to set her off.
If this really happened,
yeah,
no one would laugh.
I don't think so.
Like, I'm sure everybody has a story about a prank in high school that went too far. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a situation where somebody put oil on the staircases, and then the chemistry teacher, like, slipped and very seriously hurt his back.
How could anybody think that, you know what, this will be okay, right? How could this possibly go wrong?
Colin told me a story. He put soap on his parents' shower floor and then was like, wait, I shouldn't do this. And then gave himself a concussion trying to clean it. See? I think I have that story right. I'll edit it out if I don't. Anyway.
But like back to the gym teacher.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. She was all about snatching bitches up. Like 1976 was a different time.
People were slapping.
Yeah.
Slap, slap, slap. Judy Greer slaps her in the remake. I was impressed with that.
Yeah, right. She was straight
but then
up
she late. Apologizes.
She does. But this one, she snatches her up. She smacks her around. Then she goes in the principal's office and is like, I'm sick of these bitches.
Chain smoking.
the slapping Carrie, I can almost you were just giving her the settle down and went a little far. Chris, it's like you were waiting for it.
Oh yeah,
you were just
give
me a reason.
She's like all year. I'm like, oh please.
And the other girls are like, well, you kind of. I know you were assaulted by an adult authority figure, but
you kind of had it coming.
Yeah. This viewing, I was stuck on the way that this is everybody's fault. Except Carrie.
I'm going to let Carrie have some of the blame.
Carrie, a smidge. Okay. But, you know, usually you think of the twin villains as Chris and the mom.
Yeah. Mm.
This gym teacher is not helping matters.
She tries, but very poorly.
I think she's a little too involved in Carrie's well-being.
The part where she's like, why do you think he's asking you,
though? I mean, I feel like that was kind of like, yes, get Carrie to ask some questions because this does not seem right.
But I think that's getting too involved. I feel like if I were a teacher, I'd be like, none of my business, none of my business.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's great. And moving on.
Yes.
Like,
but take it to the group chat. Right.
What jumped out at me is Sue. Without Sue's meddling, there's no problem. Carrie still is having a rough time.
Yeah.
If Sue doesn't come up with a completely inappropriate over-the-top scheme to make herself feel better because she was right in there throwing the tampons with everybody else and she's so guilty and it's all about her that she's like, no, I'm going to send her with my boyfriend, a normal thing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Just take her to lunch. Just sit with her at lunch.
Right.
Go out. Just like you can incorporate her into the world without thrusting her into the spotlight with no idea what to do when she gets there.
Yeah. And also, they probably could have gone as a group, couldn't they? Like, you know, like just come with us. Just come.
Yeah.
Sue could have gone with the guy that didn't want to buy the tuxedo and the T-shirt.
Yeah, it was really.
I do enjoy that scene. I don't understand. Again, Brian De Palma can't control himself.
Why does it go fast for a second?
Why does it go fast for a second?
Makeover montage.
That's the point where you thought it was running long and you just needed. How will we save exactly 10 seconds? One line goes Alvin in the chip.
That seems like a cocaine decision.
Probably. I'm also like, a little bit concerned with how no one is concerned about the amount of period blood Carrie's leaving on everybody.
Okay, and then also, Carrie's what, 17?
They know. I mean, let's see. It's 1976. They probably did not have sex ed classes.
Yes, but she's not getting her period until she's 17 years old. Like, well, yikes, Amanda.
I mean, yeah, that's its own set of problems. Yes. But it's also like, it's quite possible that that's the case if she's not exposed to a lot of the things that the other girls are exposed to. Her mom has probably got her on some strict, weird diet.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I guess also that if you hadn't had your first period until you were 17, maybe it would be bloodier. A lot of uterine, a lot of years of uterine lining.
Sean's like, la, 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 la.
Well, okay, but honestly, I mean, I do think the real answer here is that this was made by men, and Stephen King probably doesn't know or care when women get their periods, and he was like, ha ha ha, transgressive, and then Brian De Palma was like, blood, 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 she's touching her pussy, and then it's bloody. And none of the women were like, what?
Just so you know.
They were not in that situation, which reminds me of something, random anecdote, which was, Colin and I were watching the old Wonder Woman show, and there was a little kid actor, and the character had telekinesis, and he explained his own condition as, I have telekinesis. And Colin and I thought that was so funny, and he thought it was really sad. Like, why didn't anyone correct this poor 9-year-old actor, right? But we just, for a year now, have been going, hi, I'm telekinesis, and I'm founder and president of Watching Carrie University. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, this movie was released on November 3rd, 1976. Did not go straight to number one. At the time, the thriller Marathon Man was the number one movie in America. Then Woody Allen's The Front went to number one. Then the football stadium thriller 2 Minute Warning. Carrie got to number one on November 24th. But it held on when it got there. It won 4 straight weekends, remained at number one until the weekend of December 22nd, when King Kong, which Robin just watched, took the top spot. It made something like $25 or $26 million. It was not in the top 10 films of the year, probably in the top 20. Expensive Baubles.
Expensive Baubles.
Sissy Spacek was nominated for Best Actress, and Piper Laurie was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and I think those are two unimpeachably cool nominations.
Yes.
Lost to, that was network year, so lost to Faye Dunaway and Beatrice Straight for the shortest Oscar-winning screen performance.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I haven't seen Network in a long time.
It's great.
I feel like either of these two could have won. Maybe Sissy Spacek couldn't have beat Faye Dunaway, but Piper Laurie certainly could have won.
Yes, anybody could have beat. I mean, Beatrice Straight is great in Network, but she is in Network for 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that with Sissy Spacek, it was a, we'll get around to you, which they did, right? Yeah, she got an Oscar 5 years later, so it's fine. And Piper Laurie probably should have won for The Hustler. I don't know what year that was and who she lost to, but that's the movie where it's like, holy shit, Piper Laurie.
Piper's still alive.
90, good for her.
91 and born in Detroit.
Did not show up in Twin Peaks The Return, probably by virtue of just being that old. Just like, didn't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple people. Michael Onkin, who's one of the main characters in the original Twin Peaks, alive, well, lives in Hawaii, doesn't like leaving. Was like, nope.
God bless him.
Not gonna come over there and do that.
They couldn't have him phone something in?
They wrote off that he was, you know, not well.
Oh, okay.
So they, you know.
He lived to be that old and well off financially to turn down shit.
Harry Truman?
Yeah.
Oh, he's hot.
His last role is a non-speaking role in that George Clooney movie, The Descendants. Because
that's in Hawaii.
And any actor who lived in Hawaii was just sitting around. Yes, Piper Laurie was also nominated at the Golden Globes. I am thrilled about the acting nominations for this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it probably could have gotten art direction, editing, and cinematography.
I would definitely talk about editing, but then again, there's these choices where it's but I mean, the big, you know, centerpiece, climax, prom massacre is just, you know, perfect.
It's pitch perfect.
It's just perfect.
And I also think like the intro to it when she's dancing with old dude and then they're spinning around. I had to look away because I was getting a little vertigo-y. But it's a great just like precursor to like, all right, shit's about to go wonky.
Yes, and the music is great there too. Yeah. Like they really do capture the like, she's living her dream.
I love that scene. I have said, can that scene be our wedding song? That is a sentence I have said out loud. Maybe it's a little too spinny and a little too foreboding about the way the rest is. Piper Laurie was nominated at the Globes, lost to Catherine Ross in Voyage of the Damned.
I haven't seen it, but I will. It's in my Oscars quest. I think someone else was nominated for the Oscars.
The National Society of Film Critics gave Sissy Spacek Best Actress. That is about the only win I could find. Carrie, both the first book published by Stephen King and the first film to be based on a Stephen King book.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Have either of you read the book?
No.
Yeah, but a long time ago. It's the word that means it's letters.
It's letters.
It's like diary entries.
Who are writing the letters?
A lot of diary entries, a lot of news reports.
Oh,
a lot
like
of
from
like,
Carrie?
From like, Carrie and others.
Okay, it's so like Carrie the main point of view character. That was my main question.
No, it's okay. Mostly people reflecting on Carrie.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be into that.
Me too. I don't read.
It's easy because it's like reading articles. It just breezes by and it's short. He has since written at least 65 additional novels. One of my favorite things is no one really can put a number on it. Like anywhere you go, that's like, how many books has Stephen King written? It's like more than 70.
Because like he uses different names sometimes.
Between the different names, the novella to novel line.
Yes. Yeah. Also, doesn't he like co-write books with his son?
And others.
Okay.
Yeah. At least 60 movies and 50 television series have been adapted
Good
since
Lord.
Carrie.
Good Lord!
So the stories about the following facts are confusing and contradictory, but it is true that joint auditions were held for Carrie and Star Wars. Those were the same
I've never heard
auditions.
That before. That's amazing.
What? They both needed mostly anonymous looking young people.
So like you come in and it's like, all right, here's two sides for you to read.
Yeah.
Read this one down, read this one, and we'll tell you which movie you're going to be in.
They were buddies, and they said, let's just see. We need a bunch of teenagers. Let's see them all at the same time. There are a million stories that said that the films essentially swapped casts at one point or another. Like, there's a legend that Carrie Fisher was in line for Carrie.
No,
that's
what?
Probably not
that's
true.
That's so dumb.
I don't think it would have been the same.
What is true is that William Catt was very close to getting Luke.
That makes sense.
And De Palma wanted him more, so
All of this makes sense.
George Lucas moved on, and the same is probably true with Amy Irving and Leia. Like,
okay, now Amy Irving would have worked as Leia.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I love Carrie Fisher, I'm happy with how it worked.
Sue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Amy Irving as an actor, by the way, and I think she's really good in this.
I'm trying to think of another thing she's in.
She's in Yentl.
Okay.
And she's in Crossing Delancey, which is also a Joan Micklyn Silver movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I honestly think maybe the first thing I ever saw her in was that she had like a recurring role on Alias, which she was really good in.
All right. Sissy Spacek was not thought very highly of at the time. She was a very young actress.
Except for by Academy voters.
Well, during casting. She, no one really wanted to take a look at her. Her husband at the time was the art director, Jack Fisk.
Oh, who
pushed and pushed and still Brian De Palma.
She
was in her 20s.
Huh.
She looks like of all ages. Like there are scenes where I'm like, are you 30?
Right.
And then there are scenes where I'm like, convincing 16-year-old Sissy Spacek.
They still didn't want to, so she rubbed Vaseline in her hair, got her face really dirty, and auditioned in an ill-fitting sailor dress, and they were like, yep, it's you.
Ooh.
She just
acting.
She also got a little intense to the point where she demanded to be the one buried under the rocks to stick her hand up.
Nice.
That is her actual hand.
Sissy.
She would not let a stunt person do it.
Sissy, my love.
They said they would be walking around getting things ready and would just hear like, is it ready yet? No, Sissy, it's not time yet. We'll be ready soon. Hang out in there. And she was under the ground for a couple hours waiting to.
Okay. All right.
This was followed by The Rage, Carrie 2 in 1999, not a number one movie in America. Amy Irving reprises the Sue Snell role and the TV remake in 2002.
Also has a different ending. Sorry, I just want to keep talking about Carrie comparative studies. Keep going.
No, we'll finish this and then go to you.
Okay.
I'll put a pin in it. The remake in 2013 did okay, also not a number one movie in America. This is the only Carrie on our list.
Is she a descendant? No, she can't be a descendant. Who? Never mind.
The Rage, Carrie 2.
Yeah, like why? Son?
I'm pretty sure it's like the same trauma causes the same results, unrelated.
In the same town?
Yes.
Okay. But she's not, there's nothing period related about it.
No, I don't think so.
She's
it's,
just
but
also
it's like
psychic.
Bullying and religious trauma yields this.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't make it through.
I will just note that Nancy Allen, John Travolta, and Piper Laurie all thought this was a very dark comedy. They thought that what they were being asked to do was so over the top that surely this is tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I've heard that before about Piper Laurie, and I always was like, "What? I don't know why you thought that, but thank God you did."
Yeah.
Like,
when she's cutting the cabbage, it's like, no, that's a comedy take.
Yeah, okay. She is so good in this movie, mm-hmm. and it's such a difficult role, like, watching the remake. Julianne Moore plays her the remake, and like Julianne Moore is an incredible actress.
I fucking hate her.
And oh, really?
Like she's just
hot take.
She just exudes just like blah to me, like all the time, to the point where I will literally forget that she is there.
I am gonna cut in her monologue from Magnolia real quick.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on both of you!
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah. So how dare you? No, that's just so interesting.
Yeah, she's just really blah to me.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. No. But I thought she was pretty bad at the Carrie remake. Like, I was just like, you're just not getting there. Like, you're just falling short of the bar. I know it's really high.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit. Piper, first of all, I'm halfway through. I'm like, oh, yeah, she was the old teacher and faculty. And the faculty.
Yes.
But, like, a lot of it hit close to home.
As a mother?
No, as being raised by a very religious...
Oh, that makes much more sense.
Yeah, very religious. Like, we never got this bad, but just like, for example, like, I mean, we didn't have this, but the fucking tapestry of the Last Supper right next to the dining room table, like, holy shit.
The lighting and angles in there... It is a building the size of the room we're sitting in, and it looks like a full-ass church, just the way that he shoots it and lights it. And all of those little icons, and there's a Jesus on every corner and
The Jesus in her praying closet.
Quick note, extra factsy.
Yes, please.
Not Jesus.
Wait, what?
Because he's got all those extra arrows.
That is Saint Sebastian, I believe, who was martyred with arrows, which is why he's
also crucified and then arrowed.
I think he was just arrowed.
Okay,
and two of the arrows are in his hands, is why my mom ends up like the same way.
Fascinating. Yeah. Had no idea.
Anyway, but yes,
creepy
that
glowing
is the most,
eyes.
Yeah.
The glowing eyes. Why would you add that feature to your statue?
Make your punishment prayer closet as upsetting as possible.
Oh, boy.
It's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Yes, the weaponization of religion. That's what hit close to home for me.
Did either of you watch the Duggars documentary, Shiny Happy People?
Yeah.
When they talked about their prayer closet, I was like, why am I familiar with this concept? And watching Carrie, I was like, oh, right.
Fast forward to. One of you had mentioned that Carrie went a little too far or Carrie is non-sympathetic or.
I don't think Carrie is blameless in murdering the town.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I feel like she is. I feel like everything she did was, had she not been provoked?
Yes.
None of those fuckers. It's the same thing to me. Like, if someone breaks into my house and they end up dead. You shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
So that's...
And she's kind of... Other than Chris and TV's John Travolta, she doesn't like, I kill you now. Like, it's very like, I'm gonna fuck shit up and then leave.
And she makes faces where it's like unclear if she understands what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could just be a rage explosion.
Once again, go into Carrie comparative studies.
Are you talking about, like, the reaction... The two Carries?
Comparing the three Carries I saw. Okay. In the remake, they fully make Carrie like Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work. And she's also like really defiant with her mom. Like, I feel like they were trying to like empower her. And she shouldn't be empowered. This is not an empowering story, right? This is a tragedy.
Yeah. There was a hint of empowerment in the original. Like when
Carrie does push back on her mom, you do go like, yes.
Yeah, like when her mom like straight up douses her with coffee or whatever, and she just keeps talking anyway and telling her like, this is how it's going to be. But yes.
And when she's like, sit down.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I do think it's important narratively to have those moments of like, yes, you go, girl. But like at the end, she needs to lose.
Yeah.
And then in 2002, Carrie survives. Sue saves her, and then they Thelma and Louise off. Like, they don't jump off, they don't drive off something, but they like drive off into fugitive land together.
You can't do that.
What? They hoped it was going to launch a series.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. They hoped that that was going to be a soft pilot for a series about those two somewhere.
Boo! Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently going to. Going back to the house is not the book ending. The book ending is she like dies on the side of the road and Sue finds her or something.
So that was another thing that happens. She like, and I understand this from the book, is that like she like fully, it's not just the prom. She like walks down the street and is like, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
Sounds like Stephen King. Yeah.
Yes. But
sounds
also
like more of the remake.
Oh, is that what I might be? Listen, I watched three Carrie movies. Yeah, in the last 3 days.
I don't know what the books. I mean, maybe the book does that, but yeah, she does kind of do that a little bit more.
Yeah,
in the remake.
In the remake, the way that they dispatch Chief Bully and the stand-in for TV's John Travolta is so stupidly. It's like, have you seen it?
The remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, but only when it came out.
It's like really bad, like slow-mo of a face getting cut off by a windshield kind of stuff. Oh, and it doesn't fit the tone of the rest of the movie.
They're really leaning in heavy with the gore
on
that one.
Yes.
On that
I think that it's just kind of like the one of the reasons for existing for these horror movies.
Right.
Like they have to justify their own existence by adding gore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I wanted to say, sorry, I'm so rambly today. In 2002 TV Carrie, she has no memory of the prom massacre. And I was like, no. In both of these, no. She cannot be fully in control, and she cannot be fully out of control. All
right.
They thread the needle perfectly in the original.
Yeah. It is almost Shakespearean in the way everything that happens builds to this as the only possible outcome.
It's a tragedy, and it should be. And I think it's one of, you know, I'm not really a horror movie person, but I really like this, and I think it's partially because it has a structure really unlike most horror movies.
A little bit. Yeah, I mean,
it's not really, there's not really horror until the blood falls. I mean, there's some, well, there's dark shit.
Camille is so like, there's religious trauma, and I'm like, there's high school bully trauma.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, like the fucking, the shower scene in the beginning. Like
okay,
that.
Bookends of horror.
I feel like this is just like nitpicky, but I kind of feel like they put the blood in place real early. Like it was sitting up there for like 4 days.
Yes.
Like these kids are still decorating the fucking gym.
Isn't it going to coagulate?
Right.
Or like at least you can't leave soup out for 10 minutes.
Is this the most efficient way to acquire one bucket of blood? The whole thing with breaking into the slaughterhouse.
Like who even came up with this plan? Like the broad.
I assume Chris.
That's the girl?
Nancy Allen.
Nancy is
the chief bitch.
Okay, is Chris. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she was like, oh, I want to get her back, which is, she's a fucking sociopath.
She really is.
Because like, even like when the time to slaughter the pig, the way she goes off.
She's excited. It's even more gross in the remake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Again, they were like, reason to exist. Grossness.
Yeah, I mean, that scene was enough in the original, but damn, like, they really, like, took it to another level.
It's a stupid plan.
But I do, it's worth it for their doofus friend who says he's going to kill the pig, but then backs off. His whole little monologue where he's calling to the pigs.
Yeah.
You won't have to worry about the bomb anymore. The best two-scene character, between that and him railroading the nerdy guy to count the votes, oh, man, that guy's good.
He's really good. Yeah. I also really enjoyed the slow realization between when Nancy gets there and she realizes what's happening. And
Sue?
Nancy. Sue.
Sue, fuck.
Nice bully.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
She looks like Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, this must be why. Yeah, when she gets there and then she like connects the dots and she's seeing everything and it's just like how it all very slowly and then the gym teacher sees her and is like, "Oh, you're going to ruin some shit." And she just won't listen. She's like, "But no." And throws her out. Oh my God. It's so it's like the suspense at that moment is very spot on. It's perfect.
Would Tommy die from getting grazed in the head?
I was wondering that too.
Cheap metal bucket.
Like in the second one, he gets hit with the bucket, and or in the remake, he gets hit with the bucket and something else happens to him.
Yeah, you're right.
To kind of like,
I think it might be
like, no, he did.
I think it might be a $1 million baby type situation where the bucket knocks him into something else. Yeah, I think so. Listen, it's really not that hard to fuck your head up until you're dead from
He's a quarterback. He has head trauma every day.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been phased at all. Yeah. Or this was the one that just took him out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't know how high those rafters go.
Yeah, anyway, could have been way up there.
Even if you have to kind of stretch your imagination, I do like the, you know, irony of they immediately take out one of their own.
Right. Yes.
I really responded. I guess this is like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, poor Carrie. But then, like, I was rooting for them to get together this time. Like,
her and Tommy?
Yeah. There's something so pure about how much she likes the poem he didn't write.
Yeah.
And how much he likes that she likes the poem that he didn't write. And the spinny dance scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that Sue was, like, literally, like, the nice one. Like, she genuinely felt bad and was genuinely trying to do something good. And I was thinking on this watch that she was going to get there and see Tommy and Carrie kiss or something.
And then, get mad.
Yeah, and then be like, yeah, fuck that bitch. But no, it never happens. But I was also like, I mean, Tommy and Carrie, this could work out, yeah? Yeah.
Very unconventional. Lots of athletes are also hyper-Christian. So, you know, this will all work out very well.
I think the whole thing really works with just the subtlety from Sissy's Spacek. The way she plays this role, the way that she responds to everything, it's just her with her eyes wide open.
She just has a great face.
Right. She's just stressed the fuck out.
Man. But she conveys a lot with that face.
Right?
This movie's really good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I don't know how William Catt, I mean, he got that show, but I feel like he should have been a megastar.
He's great hair.
He has great hair. He can act. He's very likable.
Yeah,
like, he is.
I don't know. I don't know why he didn't get anything else on anyone's list. These kids did felony sexual harassment and they got a week of free personal training about it? Come on. When did prom stop with the bands? Was it just when DJ technology improved to the level that they didn't have to pay a whole band anymore?
I don't know. I don't know of a time when there was a band, like, personally. Yeah. So, not in my lifetime.
Whenever you see a flashback movie, there's a band playing at the prom.
There's a band in this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The year I was born, 1976.
That's when
Carrie came out. Yep. I was a spanking, like, what, 10 months old? At this point.
Beautiful. So you didn't see it in the theater?
No, not in the theater, not this time. I probably went to see The Wiz instead.
I was just talking about The Wiz.
I have seen it at the drive-in. It's playing, if you're in Pittsburgh, it's playing, look up Rengos Giant Cinema. That's the theater at the Carnegie Science Center.
And they're also playing it at the Oaks Theater.
Okay.
This month.
Science Center is starting they're doing like 3 or 4 Halloween movies and then Nightmare Before Christmas as a bridge. And then Christmas movies for the rest of the year.
Good.
So you can see all that nudity the size of a building.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much snatch.
Does that bring it down at all for anyone who's not a man? I've read people saying this is so indulgent, this is so male gazy.
Yeah.
But
it's absolutely.
Yes, but also I feel like there's a hint of a point that this is all about this adolescent moment of whatever sexual awakening contrasted with her delayed puberty. What, something?
I don't know. There's something deeper there, sure.
I mostly am just too tired to care.
No, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's kind of, for me, it's like to be expected.
Yeah.
1976 and from the director it was. And also, we do get it out of the way pretty fucking early.
Yeah.
Because, like, it could have gone on and gotten real nasty. I don't know. I'm still kind of confused or maybe just, like, pissed off by the whole scene in the car with John Travolta and, oh, girl.
That was one of the scenes that got me grumpy because I was like, why are we spending so much time with these people?
And she's like, I really hate someone. He's like, who's Carrie?
What? Yeah. Just, like, he doesn't even go to school with them.
Yeah, she doesn't even go here.
So he's like an adult.
Yes.
Like, okay.
I think because he was hot shit, because of this.
He was already on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Welcome Back, Kotter was a big thing. And once they got him to agree to this, they probably extended a few scenes just to get him on screen more.
Okay.
Good grief. But
that
yeah.
scene does go on with the why is there a cop looking in the car and the
throwing
beer,
the beer back and forth,
arguing about whether or not he's a shit. And
he is.
Long blowjob sequence, which she talks with her mouth full very well.
Yeah, I was like, you can really enunciate. Mm-hmm. Good on you. Like, well done.
And he married her.
It's none of that's in the trailer.
It's the night of the senior prom. Everybody is there, even Carrie White, the girl no one likes, and everyone makes fun of.
Free Carrie, free Carrie.
The girl who lives in that creepy house with her crazy mother.
Help the sinning woman see the sin of her days and ways. Show her. If she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her.
The girl with the strange power.
If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
But tonight, no one will laugh at Carrie.
If you don't have a date for the prom next Friday, would you like to go with me?
She's with the best-looking boy in the senior class.
He's trying to trick me again.
She'll be voted queen of the prom.
You know, I can make sure that you don't hurt Carrie White anymore. Yay!
For Carrie, it will be a dream come true. For everyone else, it will be a nightmare. Carrie. A new film by Brian De Palma. Based on the chilling bestseller. Starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role. If you have a taste for terror, you have a date with Carrie.
This is one of those, that's the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Yep, so nice.
I'm going to have, like, moment. Also, it's long, so.
We're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah, but good, you know, listen. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be going to see the movie.
Yeah.
Sure. On Letterboxd, we are once again on.
Nice.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Back to the good for her.
Did we talk last time we did that about what that joke's actually about?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's. But still, it when, you, when
I,
it's
I
just a meme.
I haven't stopped using it,
yeah.
But I then feel guilty every time.
Can we do a film festival?
This the, is entitled the Good For Her film festival?
Yeah. Row House, if you want to get at us. We will host your Good For Her.
As we discovered last time, you can show Jurassic Park, all the dinosaurs are girls.
Yes.
I like this so much. It's really just the fast-talking little blip and maybe some, you know, vague pacing concerns in the middle, but not 98. I'm going to 98.
Oh, my God. Is that your highest score?
No, I went to 100 for E.T.
Oh, fair enough.
Wow.
Camila?
97.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Well, I'm going to be anchoring this with a cool 80.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Keeps it out of number one all time.
Okay.
If you were on our level.
Sorry.
Instead, a mere 91 and two-thirds.
Yes.
Very, very high on our list.
That is.
It's a classic. And I feel, you know, other than the fact that there's a lot of Bush and a lot of murder. I feel like this is a growing up movie.
Oh, yeah,
I feel
totally.
Like you're supposed to see this when you're like 14 or 15.
Oh,
and
I have a story though. Okay. I probably could have had a boyfriend in middle school if it weren't for this movie.
Oh, go on.
I had a boy pseudo ask me out mm-hmm. in I think eighth grade, and I was convinced it was a joke to make fun of me.
Aww.
Yeah, like we were on AOL Instant Messenger.
Like you had seen Carrie and thought this is one of them Carrie situations?
Yes.
Oh,
1,000,000%. Anyway, sorry,
was
Richie.
Was it not?
I found out years later. They were like, yeah, you know, you rejected Richie. And I was like, I did what?
That's a shame. That's a shame for both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, a mutual loss. It was worse for Carrie. Carrie and Tommy had a worse time.
Oh, yeah. I made it out way better.
Yeah. To the bingo card.
I forgot mine.
Okay.
I mean, do you count the school library as a public library?
No.
She's in there for an hour.
No.
There's a lot of library
also,
content.
When she's going through that card catalog, I could smell it.
Yeah, right?
I could smell it. Oh, I miss that.
That's I love the detail stuff. That she doesn't read well.
Yeah.
Like it right. takes her so
she
long.
She was homeschooled.
Right.
She was homeschooled, and it's not like when you're 14, you're actually reading the Bible. So,
right.
like, she's probably not, and there's no other books in the house.
It's like, oh, bless her heart. It's a real situation.
Other than that, I don't.
Wasn't there other stuff?
Unrequited love. She doesn't love him.
She doesn't really like. She doesn't really like. Like he. She wasn't thinking about him really.
She doesn't love him.
Woman in red dress. I might have known it'd be red. It's pink, Mama.
Right.
Pink.
Right.
It's pretty much white.
I mean, it was close because wasn't Sue's dress red?
Was Norma's dress red?
Or I was thinking,
to match her hat?
Or I was thinking about, am I PJ thinking Souls? About the remake?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking about the remake. Okay. I can quickly Google this.
Shout out to PJ Souls. I am sure it was her idea to put the hat on top of the hair thing.
Just incredible.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I also like her contractually obligated pigtails.
Mm-hmm.
Who is she? Like, I know which one she is in the movie, but who is she?
She's also in Halloween. She's one of the.
I will always know her from Rock and Roll High School.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think we have a woman in a red dress.
So then nothing.
All right. Really? Well, then it's okay that you forgot your card.
I could have sworn there was something on there.
There was no funeral. They refer to the funerals. Oh, electricity goes
out. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much does.
You can handle a sports jersey somewhere.
Yeah.
When they were on the field exercising or whatever, count
it.
Football squad or something.
All right, sports jersey. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. I watched all the Saws. I don't know why.
Oh my God, Sean.
I almost finished. I just have to watch Jigsaw and Spiral.
You guys talk about this for a minute. I'm going to check up with my emails.
Well, we'll come back to it after we've seen Saw. Are you going on Thursday?
I think I'm going to go on Friday during the day.
Saw 10 is the longest Saw. That does not feel...
That doesn't feel right.
No.
That's the beauty of these things. They're like 90 minutes.
It's still it's an hour 58, which is short for a movie, but very long for a Saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the things I've watched a whole series of, I have the least... It's just like, okay, did that one.
Yeah, it's more like, for me personally, I feel like it's like contractually obligated every year. When there's a new one or at Halloween, like I watch it. Because it's like, really, the first one is the only one that I'm just like, yeah, I really fucking enjoy.
They're really, for being, you know, torture porn, they're very easy to watch. Because they're kind of procedurals, they're really moving, they're really short. Each one either picks up right where the last one stopped or happens simultaneously with the last one. It's
what kind of irks me is like when they started getting that cop involved, not Strom, but the other one.
God, he's detective boring guy.
Yeah, fuckface. Like he's really boring. He's annoying. He turns the franchise into like a torture porn situation.
Him and Jigsaw's ex-wife.
Yeah, Jill. She's. I don't know why this actress. I don't know whose wife she is. But.
I'm glad that I was glad to be reminded that they both are dead at this point, so they're not coming back.
But this one takes place in between first and the second one. So technically they could be there.
Well, a midquel.
Well, they won't be in Saw 11. I think there are three good ones. The original, Saw 3, which is...
Saw 3D?
No.
Saw
3D is Saw 7.
It's the seventh one, which is also
rude!
The final one. Yeah.
How dare they?
Right, yeah.
That movie has three titles. You will see it as Saw 3D, Saw the Final Chapter, and Saw 7, depending on where you pull it up. The third one where he's forced brain surgery, that one.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
And the sixth one where he's getting revenge on the health insurance guy.
Yes.
Other than that,
you know. But that's the one that really starts to make me question his methodology. Like, before, it's like, he stands by this whole thing of, I've never murdered anybody. Mm. Pedo senor.
The climax in Saw 6 is, here's seven people. You can pick two of them to live.
Right. And, like, he just pulls out all these other people that are, like, you know, the poor... woman that just works for the insurance guy. She did shit to nobody.
Listen, he really hates that insurance company. He's very mad at that insurance company.
All she does is handle the files. Yeah. So you watched, you've completed your quest.
I've completed my quest. It happened.
I did write, I've made a huge chart on a big old post-it paper and wrote down all of the our spooky season movies this year.
Okay.
There are 40.
Wow.
Just because that's how many spaces I had. It's like, why not?
All right.
So we've gotten through three. So far, I just did this the other day.
I'm not going for anything in particular, but I've watched a lot. In addition to 9 Saws, what else is going on? There's got to be a new movie to talk about.
Did you see Equalizer 3?
I haven't seen Equalizer 3. Did you?
I did. I fucking loved it.
Yay! Oh, good. Like, I still have to see Equalizer 2, though.
It took me forever to get through that one. I mean, it's not great.
Can I skip it and still enjoy Equalizer 3?
I think so.
I really like the first one.
Yeah, because there's only... Yeah, and they kind of remind you of the one thing that makes sense.
Okay.
And that you need to know in the third one. But yeah, it was what I really liked is Denzel is a man of a certain age. And, you know, I'm sure he came in and was like, yeah, I'll do it. But listen, I'm not going to be overexerting myself on a lot of shit. So there's not going to be a lot of fighting, and I'm not going to have you bring in a fucking stuntman. It's obviously not me.
Right.
So what we will do is you will see the aftermath.
Ooh.
And that's what I love. Or just love like, it. You know, just like super close-ups of different, or him just like visualizing what's going to happen, you know, that kind of thing. So that was kind of like the real perfecto. And it was cute to see him and Dakota Fanning again on screen together when she's all grossed up.
Mm-hmm. I saw Expendables 4 instead of Equalizer 3.
How was that?
You know, it's Expendables 4.
It's expendable.
It's exactly what, you know, like a positive 5 out of 10. Like,
sure.
This wasn't good in any way, but you sure did the things that I showed up for. Jason Statham found a motorcycle that was also a gun and flipped it over a guy and then shot down at him from the air. Like, okay, sure, we got a movie. They're not trying to make it star-studded anymore.
Oh, really?
I mean,
I thought that was like the whole point.
It was. Yeah. They have some of the... They have Stallone, Jason Statham.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren is still there.
50 Cent?
But now, but the new people are like 50 Cent, Tony Jaa, Megan Fox, and then it really is like...
Okay.
That's what really pisses me off is that these are all older men, older action heroes, and you throw Megan Fox in there. Like, we couldn't have found a grown-ass woman to... be whatever, like, is Statham's love interest? Is that who she is?
She has a fighty sex scene with Jason Statham.
A real Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation. Yeah.
She's a lot younger than him.
Yeah. I saw The Creator.
What is this?
Is it a Bible movie?
Yeah. No.
I was going to say, sounds like Church Bus.
I was ignoring it because I thought it was Church Bus. It's Gareth Edwards.
Oh.
Here is my sci-fi epic that my passion project.
Oh.
That... I saw an article yesterday that's like, why is no one talking about The Creator? It will be the best movie of the year. It's not.
Okay. It's spoilers.
John David Washington and...
That one.
What's her name?
Buddy. She does not have it.
You are not your dad.
She's got a good face but isn't charismatic. Gemma Chan.
Her face is so good, though.
Right.
You, my friend, have a great face.
Allison Janney is the no-nonsense military person trying to hunt them down.
Okay.
I do like Allison Janney.
But
I like her when she has extra nonsense.
It's just Blade Runner. We're in a world where there's people and then there's another and then there's pure AI robots and then there's folks that are kind of half and half and we're discriminating against anyone who isn't really human, but there's a daughter that's going to save the world because she can blow up the
No, thank you.
I've seen it 15 times. Yeah. I probably won't give it a bad review because it looks cool enough and there's enough cool stuff.
Yeah.
But it truly thinks it's Arrival or Interstellar or one of
these. Two movies I don't like very much.
It's not bringing anything new to the table.
And I'm like, you're Alita Battle Angel. You are every other like...
My favorite of all the movies you've recently mentioned, including Blade Runner.
By the time you got to watch Blade Runner 4 or 5 times, and then it finally wears you down.
No, absolutely not.
No, I'm good.
Oh, I will only say I watched a movie I had never seen, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And
I'm listening.
There needs to be a word for. I thought this would instantly become one of my favorite movies. Instead, it is merely a 9 out of 10. Like,
I feel what?
Because it's the same reaction I had when I finally watched 2001. Because I put that off for years, and everyone was like, "Oh, when you see 2001, it's going to be your movie," and I'm like, "That was very, very good. 9 out of 10." but there's this weird disappointment where it's like I thought I would be raving and I would be, you know, riding a high of for days for finally having seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And I'm like, wow, what a good movie.
It's
end of sentence.
I don't really think it was ever considered great.
Yeah.
Right? It's like an Ocean's 11 kind of movie, right? Yeah. Where it's like, this just works and feels nice.
Yeah.
This is a fun movie to watch. Good job, everyone.
I think it's anticipation because I won a DVD copy of it probably 18 years ago. And it's been on the shelf ever since. I'm like, one day I'm going to get to you. Don't like the raindrops keep falling on my head.
Sequence. Oh, I think it's cute.
Why is this?
I don't know. I saw 70s
AM gold pop
10.
Song in the middle of this Western.
And when I was a kid, it made sense.
Okay. Camila, what besides Equalizer?
The only other thing I saw was the documentary on HBO called Danielle Luna, Supermodel. Mm. And she is about.
I have had this in my to watch list.
It's about this black supermodel in the 60s, I believe it was. And she's the first black model on the cover of Vogue. And she's just one of those people that her story just somehow got lost. And
right.
Nobody really acknowledges her existence of, like, or her contributions to pop culture in this sense. And, like, you know, a lot of people, and I think myself included, had credited, like, the first black, like, supermodel to, like, Beverly Johnson, I think is her name. And they have her in the documentary mm-hmm. saying, like, no, listen, like, this was the girl. But yeah, I mean, it was really good. It's because, you know, I didn't know anything about her. I don't know, so it brought a lot of new stuff insightful. And she's one of the things is that people try to give grief upon her, like she's dead now. But because she was born in Detroit, like she reinvented herself completely. Like her name was like Peggy or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then one day, you know, she's like this tall, gangly black girl. And, you know, nobody's like really appreciating who she is. And then one day some guy scouts her, finds her, is like, if you're ever in Paris, this come look me up. So she goes to Paris or wherever. And she becomes a supermodel. This is reinvent herself as this ethereal type, like fairy type. You know, like wearing fucking weird contacts and giving herself like this accent that belongs nowhere mm-hmm. and making up this new name. And this is all in the 60s. But like as a black celebrity in that time, and I also think a lot of times since, a lot of periods since, she wasn't necessarily doing anything, quote unquote, about like the civil rights movement and, you know, anything like.
Isn't it her job?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, so a lot of people were like kind of like trying to downplay her as like, but you're not doing anything for your people kind of thing. Mm. And it's like, you know, being a black person in itself is, you know, we don't always necessarily have to be doing the job and protest and doing all of these other things like boycotting and picketing and fighting, quote unquote, the man in every movement that we make. It also the fact that she simply existed as the supermodel and made the moves that she made as, you know, crossing over and like becoming like one of Andy Warhol's type mm-hmm. people, favorite people, and, you know, being on the cover of this Vogue magazine and everything and being the first, that in itself is her fighting the system.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's just like a lot of the celebrity stories, especially around this time period, a lot of the black female celebrity stories around this time period, she had a terrible decline and downfall in her life, and just a tragically died of like an overdose or something.
Oh, God.
It's still kind of questionable as to what exactly happened, but she left a daughter, like a very, very young daughter behind. Oh. Like her child was like barely two, I think, when she died. And it's just weird. It's just so fucking weird. But yeah, I would highly suggest it.
Sold. I mean, I was super interested in it because I got really into like the fashion world in the 90s because of House of Style. Do you remember that TV show? Yeah. So like when I was a tween and a teenager, I was like super into fashion. And I don't really know that much about 60s fashion, which is like another huge era
right.
of that industry, like being a huge part of pop culture.
Right.
And so I was interested in that on that level. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, like I had never, like I'm not that girl to talk about fashion and supermodel aside from like the heavy hitters, like the ones that, you know, when like the 90s when they all came
the
out.
The people in the Freedom 90 video.
Yeah, exactly. I know those broads. Yeah. I know who they are. So it's not surprising that I never heard of her before, but like way back when, like several years ago, I had the subscription box to, I think it's called Izzy and Live, and it's just like a black girls subscription box, beauty stuff, fashion stuff, you know, makeup and cool little knickknacks and things like that. They would always send a t-shirt. One of the t-shirts had her on the,
oh, cool.
Without any explanation as to who she was. It was just this, it was just like this print of her cover of Vogue, and I just thought, oh, it's really fucking cool. Like, yeah. She's got her afro.
I know what the picture is.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh. But then, like, several years later, I found out who she was. Well, actually, no, it was probably like a couple months. Like, I need to find out who this is, so in case somebody asks me. Because I can't go misrepresenting a t-shirt. But yeah, so, yeah, that was when she came on my radar just a few years ago.
Cool. Robin.
So, I watched... I would not even talk about this, but I'm curious, Camila, if you've watched it. The air quotes live action Little Mermaid.
Actually, I'm trying to get through it with Kaj being disinterested.
Because it's horrible.
It's not great. No.
It's so horribly bad. And like, I was 5 when the cartoon came out and I saw it in the theater and I watched it every day on VHS for at least a year. Like, I should be the person who was like, I forgive all your sins. Right. Thank you for bringing me this content. Right. And it didn't work. It's just bad. And the part where Awkwafina as Scuttle has a conversation with them underwater. This is a bird. This is a bird talking underwater and then goes, I gotta go get some air. I was like,
so Awkwafina is the bird?
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, I was sitting there like, am I missing something? Why is this? How is this bird underwater?
My question was, why are some fish can talk and do things, but most fish are just regular fish?
I mean, that's also true in the cartoon, but it works better when they're cartoons.
But even those fish can play the trombone and shit. Like, these are just 99% of the ocean is normal ass fish, and 1% have faces and say words.
Also, it's just fucking creepy for a semi-photorealistic fish to talk. Like, it just
it's cursed.
For the longest time I was just stuck on, so Ursula and the king are related, they're brother and sister.
Dumb. And and they added, like, she can't remember the plot. I'm like, why is this necessary? And also, Melissa McCarthy is always great. She's not good in this. It's because I feel like it's the first time I've ever seen her on screen not confident. Like, because she doesn't know what she's doing.
It must be fucking difficult on a green screen and like everything is...
And I think she just has, why does this exist? Why does this exist in her brain at all times? And the answer is money. It exists for money. So I hated it.
Hated it.
I thought it was fine.
What I kind of liked was Theater Camp.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting. That's like on Peacock or something. Yeah,
it's right on now. Hulu.
There it is.
And it is light and fizzy and charming and... you know, I'm theater kid adjacent, so there's inside jokes that I get. But it's written by Ben Platt and his childhood friend, who's also one of the directors, who is also an industry baby. Mm. And it's all about how a fail son saves the day. And I couldn't really get past that thematic weirdness.
Interesting.
But that's my fault. And then the movie that I really liked was How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which is, I believe, also on Hulu. It's from earlier this year, and it is a bunch of obnoxious 20-somethings blow up a pipeline. And it is very much styled like a 70s political thriller, like kind of Brian De Palma-esque, like, I refuse to hide my influences, here they are. But I bought into it. And the thing that is, to me, like, some people really, I was reading a ton of Letterboxd reviews of it. A lot of people don't like it because, like, it is basically agitprop. Like, at the end, they're very like, you should go blow up a pipeline, right? And it's like, okay. But I feel like the actors, or at least one of the main actors is also one of the writers, understood that these characters are so annoying. Mm. Like, if you met these people in real life, you would be like, shut up. And I feel like they portrayed that really well, where it's like they're still sympathetic, but it's not a lie about how annoying these people would be.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, highly recommend it. I watched it one night, and then I was like, Colin, I want you to watch this movie with me the next day.
That's a good endorsement. Yeah. Is it gonna stick around as a sneaky awards thing, or probably not?
I bet it will pick up, like, random critics' awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's eligible for Indie Spirits, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shall we draw a movie,
Let's
then?
Let's do it. Yeah. It's spooky season!
Oh, shit, it's spooky season. So, we are in spooky season. It already started. You didn't notice. Neither did we. Because of a slight schedule change, we usually do 3. We're counting Carrie as number 1. We landed on it from the big list, but it's...
Tony knew.
Tony knew
that we were going to have to delay recording a week.
So, episode one of Spooky Season 2023 is Carrie. We're not going to get better, you know, so just strap in. Next, we will go to...
I just want to say Camila has a veto. Camila does have a veto.
Thank you.
But why would you veto The Fly? We're getting Jeff Goldblum. And
All right.
mm-hmm. Nice. That works.
Can this be the spooky season where just everything's good the whole time when there's no
be amazing.
Texas Chainsaw 3D or Urban Legends 2? Or
I'm still pissed off. Like Urban Legends 2? Come on.
Hitchcock Award.
the one we've only watched the one Friday the 13th and it's the worst one,
right?
Where it's just that guy wearing the mask.
So bad.
Love The Fly. Will be thrilled to watch it again.
Jesus.
I'm thrilled to hear more Goldblum discourse.
Always here for it.
Mm-hmm. Before that, which is about 10 years after Carrie, that's like 85, 86. It feels like they're neighbors, but they're ways apart. Carrie went to number one on November 24th, 1976.
I don't understand this era. Like, this is pre-disco ascendancy, but I don't know what's happening. Eagles?
No.
Okay.
The number one song when I was born was like the Shaft theme or something.
It's not
good.
That.
That's a really good number one song when you're born. Right.
Eagles is closer in you know, the radio format and also in... We're looking for something a little boring, like
Crosby,
the Eagles.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
No, that's more interesting than the Eagles, I would say.
I was going to say Fleetwood Mac, but I would also say
that's
interesting
way more
than
interesting
the
than the Eagles.
Or it's just Eagles, right? It's not the Eagles.
I don't
Eagles.
Know. They suck anyway. And I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Bee Gees?
No. You're looking for a solo artist.
Solo artist, 76.
James Taylor.
Ooh, but also I like James Taylor.
No, I would say that James Taylor is far more like James Taylor is less cool than this guy.
Jackson Brown.
But unlike Jackson Brown, this guy isn't actually cool. He just acts cool. He seems like he thinks he's a cool guy, but
What's
he's not.
What's his name?
Camila is wobbling her shoulders and kind of letting her head pivot on a Matt, like she's a bobblehead.
Who
right
do
now.
You think it was? I think it was Tom Jones.
No, but is that the answer?
No.
What is that guy's? What is that fucking song? Damn it! It's not Michael Mc. Well, Michael McDonald. That's not who I was doing. But
no,
Michael McDonald.
Okay. Oh, is it Steely Dan?
No.
Okay.
I don't like Steely.
Oh
Dan,
yeah,
but
you
I,
said it was a solo artist. Hang on. You should like Steely Dan. Okay.
I'm so into yacht rock and their
that's,
yachtiest.
That's literally why I said you should.
Their yachtiest songs are great, but if like a whole Steely Dan album is a slog for me. Okay. I don't know why. Right. This guy was just in town, actually.
Peter Gabriel.
No, a little earlier than
okay.
that.
Okay.
I don't think he was. Was he solo in the 70s?
No. I just got excited because I know he was in town.
Was he?
Yeah, he was here on Saturday, and it caused a weird amount of traffic.
Really?
The boomers came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now's our time.
Yes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of very old white solo artists, because Clapton was here, Peter Gabriel
Billy
was
Joel?
Here. No.
Okay.
I like Billy Joel. I like this guy in this era, but he got really cheesy really fast. Who was a rocker in the set? We're going to be here for all
that. Rod Stewart.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. Maggie May?
No.
If you I'm wear sexy, it well.
No,
do you think I'm sexy?
It's Tonight's the Night.
Ah, okay.
Tonight's the Night by Rod Stewart. I don't think I like him. Like, early on.
Yeah. He does get really cheesy, but I think he's like good cheesy though.
I don't know. I really like Two Hearts.
Yes.
Every time that song comes on, I will never turn it off.
Yeah.
Every picture
young,
tells
young
a story.
Young Turks.
It's really good. Yeah.
I like him.
He did just sit down to write a song and kind of wrote down Bob Dylan's Forever Young. No one told him. He recorded it, and then someone pointed it out later, and he had to give Bob Dylan. You know the song Forever Young by Rod Stewart?
It's
way more bombastic and Rod Stewart than Forever Young by Bob Dylan.
But it's the same song?
It's pretty much the same. Like, he sat down and wrote it down and just did in process that he was basically writing down a Bob Dylan song he already knew.
That's hilarious. I'm going to go write Billie Jean.
Camila's version.